Kaiba's got the stats and he's the leader of the team. Mark's magic multi keeps the punters keen. Trainer's crunching numbers and he's saving his trades. Guzzy says he's calm but he's got people to spray. And there's Dan, he'll join in whenever he can. That's why we all call him the world's busiest man. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF.
Welcome to the Playing for Sheep Stations podcast ahead of round 14. Boys, we missed Magic Round this year, but we had a great weekend in Sydney. We watched three games over 3 days. We won a few multis. We found a few cheap drinks. Shout out to the Forest Inn in Bexley.
Yeah.
Cheapest drinks I've seen in Australia in the last 10 years, I reckon. So visited some suburban grounds. There was a few problems in the grandstands for Guardsy. He wasn't appreciating some of the flora in the grandstand, but we'll talk about that a bit later on. Joined tonight by Matt and Mark. The other two haven't recovered, haven't pulled up after Origin weekend. They're having the weekend off a bit like Harry Grant. Matt, how was the week that was? How did Alfie's army go? Are you holding ground still or are you making green arrows?
I went backwards 141 spots, so essentially didn't move. 1248, ended up bringing in Jerome Hughes last week, went a bit rogue after saying I was only making one trade. I got into the halfback roulette battle, just got a bit excited against the Titans, and then turned out it was pouring with rain. So Jerome dropped out of my team as my super pod. He's 30 or whatever. So talk
us through what you're going to do. What was your plan? I sort of know the weekend plan, but what's your plan moving forward with that strategy?
All right. So I was just looking at this. Hang on, just give me 1 second here to get this up if I go to the right bloody app.
Do you want me to talk to Mark first and then you can come back and we'll ask you about
this? Yeah, do that.
Right. Mark, the king is dead. New Pappy owner. Good news or bad news?
Normal service has resumed. Red arrows, baby.
Really?
1191. Red arrows.
I think I'm in front of you again.
Yeah, I've dropped outside that most coveted top 30,000.
Yeah.
Oh, what have I written here? I've written... Fuck Super, I'm channeling Mina Cardsy, he's not here. Fuck Supercoach, fuck Jerome Hughes, fuck Ryan Pappenhausen, fuck Brooke Barlow. Fuck the Lord for the Forest Inn Hotel.
Got a lot of that on the weekend, didn't we? A very angry Aiden Gardner, he was not calm. It's a shame he's not here because I think the chin list just about Brooke Barlow would be long and arduous. I'll talk about me and then we'll come back to you, Trainer, and you could talk about that strategy. The Munster Hunts scored 1274. I think about 3,000 green arrows into 30,558. Looking forward, I'm probably worried about some monster break-evens, but I think we'll talk about that in the set of six. Do you want me to go through who did well this week and then we'll really come back to you, I promise. Slippery When Wet, coached by Ed, topped the week with an impressive 1,406.
Ooh.
Beat Priapism, which is coached by Dolphunnies. He thought in the car on the way home he might be the leader, but he was dusted and done by about 30 points, I think. So he's gone up over 3,500 spots into 4,000. So he made good moves in that mini buy round, old Ed. Labong James, coached by Adam, is still leading. 250-point lead at the top of beating Brody, who's gone back into second and hit... Adam is ranked 554th. Righto, Trainer, hit us with this strategy, this halfback roulette and the thinking behind it.
Okay, so I traded Nico Hines out to Jerome Hughes on whatever day it was, Saturday or Friday or whatever it was.
Beer towers had been had.
Hey?
How many beer towers had you had by then?
Oh, no. This was pre-beer towers.
Okay.
These were sober decisions. Traded him out because... Basically, the Storm were playing the Titans in a day game, and I was excited pre-looking at the weather, basically. So Nico's gone to Jerome Hughes, and then so I'll have Cleary and Hughes last week and this week. And then next week, Cleary is going out to bring Nico back in. So the thought process behind this is, I wanted to target Jerome v. Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want Cleary for the Tigers this week. After that, Cleary has the bye. He's already been said that he won't back up round 16, not going to New Zealand. Round 17, they've got the Doggies. I'll cop that one. Hopefully, he can, not go a million into the bye round 18. And then, if he backs up from Origin for the round 19 game, which is at 4:05 on a Sunday, so I'm assuming he will against Para, I'll be bringing him back in round 19. Who will be
Well,
going out for Cleary to come back in? That'll just be a wait and see.
yep, depending on how they're going and what it looks like.
Yep.
So the idea is to have two gun halfbacks during this time, during the Origin break, for two trades or three.
I think it's three. I think I worked out it was three, but I just wanted to, try and get Jerome into as a pod just to move up some spots. It was really a lot based around that Titans matchup, but it was kind of a bit of a flop, but.
Yeah, and I think we talk about the weather and how that's going to influence us moving forward later on in the podcast. So, not a bad thought process. I think a lot of people were thinking of doing it at fullback, but it did make sense when there's three clear standouts at halfback to try and do that as well. So, probably unlucky not to have paid off for you, and it was a little bit left field thinking. And I heard a few people talking about doing it, but I didn't know. I don't know how many did it, but we'll move on. Round 14, Teamless Tuesday. A full round with only the Roosters on the bye, so eight games, which is awesome. And I'm glad as a non-Teddy owner, I don't have to watch him this week because it's a tough watch. He's the guy that I think you're going to have to try and get, and it's going to be hard to get him for round 15. But Mark, have you done some research for us around the team list?
I have had a look at teams. It's interesting that Matt was talking about halfback roulette there because Adam O'Brien's playing halfback roulette, except he doesn't have two guns to rotate through.
Yeah.
He's got Jack Cogger and Tyson Gamble.
I did notice that Hastings is named at 18th man.
18th man, yeah.
Getting closer.
Yes. Ponga's back, so Sharp to six. Cogger at seven. Tyson Gamble, I think, broke his hand. I think I read somewhere. So he's out. Brody Jones starts for Leo Thompson, who's out for 4 weeks after that pressure tackle on Friday night. Marzio named on an extended bench, so he could come in for your man Hunt
I think
there,
if everyone just gets
Greeno.
on X and just hammers Barry Tui, if he's
Yes,
starting or not, he loves that kind of
he
stuff.
does. I know. It's great, and then abusing when he gives you the answer that he does that you didn't want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jackson Hastings at 18 for Manly. You'll be happy about no Turbo still, Matthew, no doubt. Ecstatic, over the moon.
Do you have any
Yep.
plans with that? Or are you just happy to hold him
Just
because he's so cheap?
happy to hold while he's cheap and hopefully. Hopefully, I'll get him back against the Titans next week, and he can do something. If not, well, what do you do? It's a gamble I've taken, and it's not only one to move him to, so I'm just
If
going to ride it out.
he doesn't return next week, what are your thoughts? Or you worry about that next week?
Well, I'm fucked, basically.
Yeah.
And for other team news for Manly there, Jake Trbojevic is back. That pushes Jas Tavanga to the bench. And in a somewhat ironic twist, Matt Lodge drops out of the team. One has a hair hat, and one, apparently, according to a member of the team, needs a haircut. So, interesting little team selection there.
Question about Fletcher Sharp. Is he a season keeper at centre wing? So is he in your plans to keep long term? And if he's
Yeah.
not, when do you get out?
Spoiling some chat later on.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, yeah, I'm keeping him,
Okay.
yes.
We'll talk about it a bit more, but just I've had a lot of questions about is he a sell? I don't think so. I think you just let him go up and down. Matt, you're just thinking the same?
I'll be holding until round 18 and then work it out then.
The second game is the Storm and the Cowboys, Friday, 6 p.m. down there in Melbourne at Amy Park. Coates and Harry Grant back. Interestingly, Suafalongo is the winger to drop out. That might surprise some people. Who there was some chat I heard on the weekend that he was one of the best players in the game, Suafalongo.
I
So,
heard a lot of that chat.
yeah, very interesting. But no, Cameron Anderson. Grant Anderson, sorry, Grant Anderson holds that spot on the wing. It's an interesting looking bench there for Melbourne. Wishart, Garlick alongside Sofa Solomona and Chui Kamakamika. So, couple of the smaller bodies. Although Wishart, I think, came on and played a bit through, played a bit of lock and.
I think he came on at hooker because Grant didn't play as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, the Cowboys, they're 1-17 from last week, so. Still no Murray Taulagi.
Zach Labor, somebody to look at on the bubble, 390,000, bit of a downgrade option. You can go Robert Toyer to him for 200,000, which sounds okay to me.
The second game on Friday night is the Dolphins up against the Dragons, 8 o'clock at Suncorp Stadium. The Hammer back at one, means Averillo back to the centres, Fine out. Marshall King and Max Plath both named on an extended bench, so bit of a watch there to see what happens with those two. For the Dragons, Jaden Sewer out for at least a couple of weeks, I think they said, which means Couchman named to start. He played there last week, but he's named to start there in the back row. And Fatala Mariner joins the bench. Potentially some big cheapy news downgrade in that centre wing is that. Lawson has held that spot on the wing, and Tyrell Sloane is the man to drop out of the team.
Which is
So.
good news because he's obviously held it not because someone's injured, just because he performed better. I think he had reasonably good base. What did he score? About 40 something?
And
Yeah,
unlucky, they
47, I
just
think.
dropped the ball over the line there. Could have had a try in that as well.
Yeah, so he looks likely. Massive downgrade. He's the epic downgrade from Toya, isn't he? For everyone to free up cash if you don't own Teddy or the like.
So then we move on to Saturday with a long weekend. Footy kicks off at 5:30 on Saturday at Shark Park. They're taking on the Warriors. Katoa returns on the wing with Ronaldo out suspended. So Katoa and Hiroti are the wingers there for the Sharks this week. Teague Wilton returns from injury, pushing Billy Burns to 18th man. For the Warriors, Jackson Ford named to start for Barnett, who's done for the season with his ACL. Rocco Berry also out injured again. I think that was his first game back, but injured. And that pushes Katewell back out to the centres and Halasima into the back row starting again for
I
people
did.
who
Yeah.
bought him in a little while ago.
I've written down here Rocco Berry has a curious case of the Billy Smiths. He just can't stay on the field, can he?
Now, so the second game there on Saturday night is the blockbuster between the Broncos and the Titans.
I love how they call this. They've written this up as Reece Walsh back against bitter rivals, the Titans. Holy smokes. Do you see them as your bitter rivals, Matthew?
The only people I see as my bitter rivals are the Broncos players at the moment.
Yes. Reece Walsh has been named to return at fullback. Jesse Arthurs goes to the wing and Mariner out of 17. Carrigan moved back to 13. Jensen to prop and Hetherington to the bench. Piakura and Willison swap. So Piakura starting. Willison drops back to the bench for the Broncos. For the Titans, Jojo Fifita must be broken hand season on the Gold Coast. He's out with a broken hand. Sam Verrills is out with a broken hand. So Phil Sammy moves into the centres and Fitzgibbon, Alan Fitzgibbon. That's a famous football name, Alan Fitzgibbon, isn't it? Onto the wing. And Sean Mullaney starting at hooker. So interestingly, they've got a hooker playing in the second row and opted to keep him there. Anyway, AJ Brimson named at 18. I think the Titans are making an application to the NRL so that he will be free to play. I think this is the
Game day is 10 day.
10 days. So, watch that space.
Is this Broncos team closer to the Broncos team you thought that might get named for round one?
It's a lot closer to the Broncos team that I'll be picking, yes.
Yeah, it just seems I look at it with a bit more confidence than I have with many of the teams that you've trotted out so far.
I can't see it making much difference, to be honest. Like it's still the same blokes, really.
So you're not confident against the Titans.
I'm not tipping these stupid pricks, no.
Jesus. Holy. Righto.
I refuse.
You
Boy,
refuse to.
I got a perfect week last week in the tipping, so I'm about 5 points clear. I got oodles of room to play with.
Oh dear.
Fair enough. Sunday footy. Raiders and the Rabbitohs kick it off 2 p.m. down there in Canberra. a Fogarty name to return along with Starling at hooker. Josh Papali'i has been named to start in the game that he will break the Raiders' appearance record. So do with that what you will. Corey Hall's been gone to 13, Smithies to the bench. For Souths, Whiten and Walker both named to return. Dan's, maybe that's why Dan's not here. He's very excited by that news for his man, AJ, who knows. Sullivan drops to the bench. Tass moves to the wing. Bentley Harpe out.
He's injured, isn't he?
Did he get injured?
I'm pretty
Don't
sure he
know.
got injured.
Anyway, and Jai Gray drops out of the 17 as well, so.
Yeah. Cody Walker at 350,000 with a break even of 94. You could get Cody Walker reasonably after this game for under 300,000. Any love for that as a downgrade at 5'8"? Am I moving
No.
from one shit 5'8" to another, trainer? Is that what you're thinking?
Look, we talked about a minute ago about the Rabbitohs' upcoming draw. I wouldn't be going anywhere near him.
The other thing that I've written down, any concern for Ricky Roulette in that forward pack? Both Tarponet and Horsburgh under 50 minutes on the weekend. Hosking doesn't appear to be a 80 minute guy for them there. Who knows what their roles are? It just is a bit of a strange one. Does it mean you move off your Raiders?
It's a no. I would not be moving off the Raiders with their draw.
Even with the minutes?
Oh, who
Unless
cares? Who cares if Tarponet plays
Origin.
50 minutes if he sets up a try, scores a try? He's going to get you 80.
Yeah, well, he
Horse, yeah.
scored a try on the weekend and was saved by it because he only got to 60.
Really?
You've paid 700 and whatever thousand for him. I'm just a bit more concerned about the
Oh,
minutes.
he scored off a kick, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He would have got 40.
Yep.
So you'd be pissed off if you were paying 700 plus for that and getting 40. So just a bit, I don't know what Ricky's doing. He's back to that old. And it seems like he moves back rowers to the middle and middles to the back row during the game. Just
Tarpany always has an uptick in, like, I don't know, Tarps isn't one I'll be too worried about.
no, I'm probably more thinking Horsburgh and Hosking, who are heavily, like, really highly owned.
Horsburgh possibly, I don't know. Hosking isn't an edge, and the Raiders just have the best run for the rest of the year. He plays all these, he's still got great buy coverage. I wouldn't be moving off him until post buys, like if you
Yeah,
can pick up someone else that you want.
they don't play around 19, and it's pretty tricky because neither do the Rabbitohs or Manly, and I think people are starting to get heavily invested there with Keon and Oluwatu and Turbo and Garrick, and just to put it out there around what's going on at the in the back, because it was pretty steady, like it was pretty consistent minutes earlier in the year, and we could just bank the points.
The Sunday 4 o'clock game, Tigers and the Panthers at Tom Bank Stadium. Shocking news, Supercoach stud Royce Hunt out. I don't know if he was injured from the 3 minutes that he played or
6 points.
happened with Royce. Alex Twal also out with another concussion. I read somewhere he's got a big history of concussions. Not someone that's
Who's that?
Alex Twal that I've ever really noticed get a lot of head knocks
I
on,
think he had
no.
a nasty one a couple of years ago that kept him out for a fair while.
Yeah,
I don't think
okay.
he's had a lot, but I think he had a pretty big
Yeah,
one.
right. So Seyfarth goes to 13. Sukar to start in the back row. Heath Mason, the best number six prospect since Luke Brooks, named again. Tyrrell Skelton returns on the wing after a long layoff. You owned him. How long has he been out? For about 8 weeks or something, hasn't he? Is that about right?
Maybe longer.
And the Panthers, they're 1-17 with Luke Garner named on an extended bench.
Mason holds over Latu Finau. Finau was someone who potentially was a downgrade at 5'8" to free up some cash, because I don't know if you need to carry two 5'8"s if you've got Munster or Jaden Campbell. Him not playing this week, I imagine the Panthers could do a job on them, and it might just be a switcheroo for the week after. They don't play the week after. They don't play the bye round, do they? 15 bye.
No, I don't think so.
And I've just written, I saw it in real life. Jenkins might as well get a pedicure because he's not getting a pass from McLean. Quite
He should
soon.
thank his lucky stars he got a kick.
Oh my God. The bloke, he couldn't even pass, so he had to kick. Like, it was phenomenal. I'd watched it in the telly, but to watch it at the game live, it was even more outrageous because you could see how much space he had, and all he had to do was pass, and he couldn't. So, anyway.
Or wouldn't, as
Wouldn't,
the case
yeah.
may be.
Anyway.
Anyway, long weekend, so there's a game on Monday. The Dogs up against Parramatta, 4 o'clock at Accor Stadium. Carraz named to return on the wing for the Bulldogs. Galvin named on an extended bench.
Do you think he'll come in?
Maybe onto the bench. I
Who's.
don't think he'll start. He
Yeah, I
might,
think
I think, come onto the bench.
from listening to that interview with him today, I think he'll probably come onto the bench.
Yeah.
I think he knew that he was going to get named as a high number, and then I think that he thinks that he'll be on the bench.
Parramatta, Penasini returns. That pushes Sam Rani to the bench and Joash Papali'i to 18th man. That rounds out the teams.
Well, very good. I'd normally throw to Guardsy here, but he's not here. But I do know that he's one massive thing on the chin list and something he wanted us to do. He wants Brookvale Oval changed from Four Pines Park to Roundup Oval because we were sitting in the grandstand. Was it on the southern end? It was the southern end grandstand. And
The Menzies Lions stand.
going out of the stand at the end of the game, he noticed a huge weed and he said, "They need to get this sorted out. This is an outrage. I can't believe it. There's weeds everywhere growing in their grandstand."
He was so angry he couldn't spell Brookvale when he was typing it into his notes. That's how angry he was. Pretty sure it was anger that caused that.
Yeah, I don't think the game at all had any impact on how angry he was. But yeah, so the chin list is wrapped up with just one reference to weeds this week. So he might come on and give us a bit more next week, but yeah, he just wanted us to make sure that we got the Brookvale weeds there. And I did notice we saw a bit of a kerfuffle at the end down the hill behind the hill after on the way out, and it was a downhill run it straight challenge that looked like there was some brave men anyway, or some well lubricated men anyway. So that seemed a bit crazy. I'll do Jamie's ref analysis. He said, "How good was the Blues win on Wednesday?" And it most certainly was. 3 points to Grant Atkins, penalised Sewer and Crossland for being in. Oh, this might be a typo in the rick after it in the ruck after a tackle, but they both rolled away. Crossland was on the on his own goal line, and if he rolled any further, he would have gone dead. Croker can't both. Croker and Cant both penalised for high tackles that were around their knees. Where are the defenders supposed to go? I wonder if he knows you, Matt Traynor. Where are the defenders supposed to go when the ball carrier falls before contact? Soft penalty for a Couchman flop. The definition for a flop is becoming broad. Jared, six again, Spudden. 2 points. So many soft six agains. Luai Sinbin was questionable when the first ruck infringement was so bloody soft. The next two were fair game, then a penalty would have sufficed. He said something like,
It's
"You have to
mandatory.
go, it's mandatory,"
Yeah.
which I don't know that there is any rule that mandates that if you give away three penalties or six agains on your own line, the fourth one requires you to go to the sin bin. But anyway, Jared thinks so. Then he had to have Ashley Klein in the bunker explain the rules to him when Tigers wanted to challenge yet another soft penalty. And Adam G with 1 point. Croker high tackle. Barely hit his shoulder, missed a forward pass from the Bronx. Reynolds should have had a professional foul when he was penalised for not being square at the marker and stopped and slapped the ball down as it was played. When he was in the bunker for Dragons game, gave a dodgy ruling on Holmes taking Gagai out with no ball but barely laid a finger on him. So there's a fair bit of consistency between Guardsy and Jamie in the referees that they pick on or find fault in, but yeah, there's your mate never hardly rates a mention. Who do you like, Wyatt? He
There's a
very
reason
rarely
for that, mate.
rates a mention.
Guardsy must have been conflicted over the weekend. Did Belinda run the line in a game? He loves the touchies, but I imagine when she's got the flag, not so much.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I've got a couple of questions this week that I couldn't fit into the six again. They're from our man Dom. And he says, "Any love for the Matt, you just grabbed your head involuntarily. I don't know if you knew that. Any love for the Tigers, Mason's minutes. Turbo isn't playing, so I may as well downgrade and use the cash elsewhere. Would you downgrade Turbo to Mason? Matthew, I'm going to ask as a Turbo owner, would you do that?"
No.
Okay. Would you like to elaborate why?
Because Latu Fainu is on the bench.
Yeah, so you can't see his minutes being good enough for him to Is Dom just being seduced by his 100 on the weekend?
Say so.
Yeah.
Dom's pretty easily seduced, to be fair. But no, I think he's just warming Latu Fainu's spot, isn't he?
I see it as that, yeah. I think they're just going to ease Finau back in this week. And then Mason might sail off into the distance. So you might be just wasting trades. I think if I own Turbo like you, Matt, I would be holding as well because who do you go to? And
Yep,
it's
and
certainly
they've
not
still got some easy
Mason.
games coming up, and they still play 15 and 18. Like,
Yeah, healthy Mason
hang
is
in there.
definitely not the man.
No, if he wants to free up the cash for a Tigers 5-8, I would be buying the one on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah, and the good thing about like with Turbo is you can just put him in your flex, and then at the end of the bye period, if he's still a spud, you can just trade him to anyone.
No, absolutely agree with that one. The second part of Dom's question is Koloa Tangi a buy this week with the potential for him to play Origin in Barnett's spot? My question would be, he was 60% bought last week or something like that.
He's 82% owned by the top 5%.
Yeah, so you missed him, really. I feel like you've missed him. Him getting him at 600 was the spot you want to be at. What's he at now? 670 or something like that.
Look, you could still buy him, but obviously there is that added element of risk now. I don't think that he will play State of Origin. I think that it's either going to be Gerbo or Stefano that comes into that spot. Maxi King will probably start, or Gerbo will start. But he could be 18th man. Like, he could, I don't know. It's a tough one.
So if you don't own Koloa Matangi, would you buy him this week?
That's why I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, Mark, would you?
Yeah, I don't think he'll play Origin either, so I think you can buy him.
Yeah, I'd probably buy him because I see him as a guy that you can keep for the rest of the year. I know they're rough. Their run is rough coming up, but I think it does ease off a little bit towards the end of the season. And he's a front rower or a back rower. It doesn't
Oh,
make
yeah,
him
like, the draw doesn't affect him. Like, when I'm talking about the Rabbitohs draw and Cody Walker, it's vastly different to
Yeah.
how it impacts Keon.
Because I mean, he's just going to probably. I mean, he might. The ball might not be in play as often with these gun teams because they'll be standing under the post. But it might move his base plus power down from 90 to 75.
Yeah, like,
You
it's, yeah,
know.
it's exactly right.
All right, we'll move on. Thanks for the questions, Dom. Set of six. Hitchmore, as we had on the weekend a lot. Tackle one. We are always looking for great negative break evens to make money. I spoke earlier in the year about a couple of different ways to make money. There are a heap of high-owned gun players with massive break-evens this week. Pappy leads the charge with 182 as his break-even. Mark, has he scored that this year?
Oh, not that I've watched, no.
Sorry, that was just a little subtlety. Drinky with 181. Connor Tracey 147, Jerome Hughes 126, Haas 122, Tarponet 110, Munster 104, Kiraz coming back this week with a 126 break even, Nicho Hynes 102, Dilbags 102. The list goes on of high owned guys with massive break evens. Are there any of them that you would consider selling and then buying back? So sell one trade out, two trades back in. And if you were, how much money would you need them to make you feel good about that trade moving forward? I'm seriously considering selling Drinky as a late onto him owner, and I paid fairly high price. I don't want to have another situation like KP where I just hang on and hang on and lose 300 grand. His role has changed ever so slightly. I went back and watched the highlights of the Cowboys game. And with Purdue moving into the halves, I think he's not getting the same quality ball. Purdue's taking some of that ball where he would normally get it swinging around. What are your thoughts around Drinky?
I just like his availability, and I think once they work out how they're going to play, I think it'll probably get back to what it was. That's I'm not basing that on anything. That's probably hope.
Yeah. So you're holding?
Yeah, I'm going to hold.
Would you sell any of them, Matt, or are you going to hold them all that you own, those high break even guys?
I shan't be selling anybody after I sold Nico last week. Remember how I said weeks ago, no trades, no trades, no trades? I've got to start doing it, so not trading
Yeah.
anyone.
Yeah, right. So if you don't sell, you don't lose the money. Is that the kind of thought process in those
Oh,
guys?
yeah, and but like, there's got to be someone you can sell him to as well, where it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, I guess, some worry about Drinky, but he's still kicking goals. The Cowboys are still playing every game until round 27. Yeah, they're still a high upside attacking team.
And thought process, like with Pappy is a run home guy, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's like you're only going to sell either of those to Tedesco, I think.
Yeah. And he's not playing this week. He's probably not going to do it this week.
Nobody else is really screaming by me at fullback. Yeah, Latrell was good last week, but still involved in Origin and Rabbitohs run. I know it probably doesn't affect him as much because he's a beast and just scores against anybody, but.
Out of those top fullbacks, even if you do have to sell to somebody else, even if they have a couple of quiet weeks, they're still going to be higher priced than those other guys that are maybe on the way up.
Yeah,
So you're
like a
not.
Reece Walsh as well, maybe. He's very. Yeah, he's hard to own.
So I just thought I'd bring that up because it is hard, and some people see that massive break even and get a bit worried about it. But you only lose if you sell, and if you have no real plans to sell, don't worry. And the other beauty around like Haas and Tarponet, I think they're just guys you hold in the front row. So it doesn't matter what their price ends up, the price is what you paid for them. So, I mean, is that kind of where you're thinking with that?
Yeah, that's always the logic behind it.
Yeah, because you just see a lot of people bailing out and they're pretty heavily sold. Like Haas is so highly sold again.
They must have more trades than I do because surely he's a bloke you want to get back in
Well, you would think
this
so.
year.
You would think so. Tackle two, priority pickups after Origin, or can you go early? The example is Zach Lomax was heavily owned last or bought last week with the Eels draw. He only misses 15 and 18, which he would have missed anyway because the Eels are on the bye. He seems to back up after Origin. He did all three games last year. Is it worth going some of these blokes early if their draw permits? I look at someone like Val Holmes and they don't play a couple of the mini buys, which means he misses 2 weeks in a row. So he's probably someone I'm not keen to go. But I just mentioned Jacob Carraz with 126 break even. Is he a guy that you could just pick up? When he came back from injury last time, he hit the ground running, didn't he? So is he a guy that you could pick up? Is it worth trying to go early on these guys before everyone else owns them?
Well, I'll be buying Kiraz next week, all things going to plan. Yeah, he like there's some guys in the Supercoach that you just want your team, isn't there?
Yeah, I agree. So, do we go early? Is anyone going to go early?
Depends on your on what you can do with your team. Like if you've got the money there and you can make it work, then there's no harm. Like I know 800K is probably a lot, but everyone's got lots of money this year. If you've got it there, get into it. If
If you have money set aside to go Teddy next week, could you go early this week and try and make it happen a different way for Teddy next week?
Yeah, definitely.
Asking for a
But
friend?
it's this is it's always that forward thinking, isn't it? Like you want to make sure that you can do what you want to do the next week. Always try and think at least a week in advance.
So it's an interesting one because it is something that I kind of looked at and I thought, well, I'm pretty lowly ranked. Is it worth taking a flyer? It's why I could imagine me doing your Jerome Hughes thing, but I thought it was risky for you to do with your where you're sitting, but.
Yeah, I'm only 6,000th, like.
Yeah, but that's not that. I looked at it. That's not that far out of the top 1,000.
Yeah, but you gotta do something to get up there,
Yeah,
don't you?
I know. And that I suppose you do. You can't just keep playing the same cards as everyone else, can you? Okay, we'll talk about tackle three. Do we need to put some thought into the wet weather and how it impacts our captaincy choices? Pappy was easily the best captaincy choice if it was dry, I think. Titans versus Storm. Zero players in that game over 100 attacking players like Pappy 63, Munster 41, and Hughes 32. The only exception was Jaden Campbell, but he just does everything for the Titans in attack. So, how much are you going to put into the weather moving forward? Are you going to look a little bit more closely, or are you just going to keep winging it and hope that it works out? Mark, what do you think about the weather?
It depends on the player. So if you set up so that it's your VC, then the weather doesn't seem to affect Perrell May if he's your captain. But it might affect who I choose
Probably,
as your vice captain
it
or
probably helps someone like Terrell May if it's raining because it
So
stays in the middle a lot more and.
we talked about on the weekend whether we would keep Pappenhausen as the captain. probably the opposition was probably more of a factor than the weather in my decision to keep it on him. But
And I also think my decision around there was it was at Cbus, and it seems to handle the rain pretty well. The surface stays really good. The balls are that good that you could nearly cover them in Vaseline, and they're still pretty good. So I didn't think the weather would have as big an impact up there as it did. And that's probably why I was happy to continue to captain Pappy, but would change my decision if it was like at a ground that's a bit more easy to chop up, or somewhere like Combank where it hadn't rained for a while and it was still tough footing on Sunday. I think those sort of grounds, and the footy stadium is in pretty poor condition once it gets a bit of rain on it as well. So it might be ground dependent, I think. Suncorp seems to handle the rain well, and people can still score well, as evidenced by Magic Round. So is it going to, now do we have to become groundsmen, weather curators, whatever else, to figure it out, or do we just not pay that much attention? Because I've just heard a lot of chat about it across a lot of social media
you just
channels.
take up darts to select it.
Yeah, it's probably worth just trying to have a bit of a look at the weather pre, before the start of the round, and then yeah, try and if you know if the upside player you want to have a bar at have a go at is, playing in a wet weather game, try and maybe VC them instead of seeing them.
No, totally agree. Tackle four. Name your ultimate centre wing lineup from round 20 onwards. Mark, have you written something down here?
I've got Lomax, got Carraz, I've got Ruben, but maybe that's just a history thing. But
It was fairly consistent,
I've
though.
got Fletcher Sharp in there as well, and I still have Dylan Lucas there because he also gives you that dual
Flexibility.
position flexibility.
Now, how many do you want? This is the question. Are you going to go with seven, try and get seven guns, or is that too many?
Seven's too many because you're going to have three fullbacks, you're going to have two halfbacks and two 5'8s probably. Well, maybe not the two 5'8s, but yeah,
Well, you're gonna have three front rowers, aren't you?
I think six is probably the number. If you can get to six, you'll be going very well, and then you just play them as per matchup.
I've got in my team, I've got four Nuffs, one in the centre, one at 5'8", one at second row, and one at front row. So that's I'm gonna run with four Nuffs, 22 scoring players. Hopefully, well, they're gonna be a range of out and out guns, and then a couple of ranges that I can plug in if I need to. Like my emergencies, and then hopefully have a handful of trades that I can just, if someone gets injured, switch them out for the next best. My run home centre wings, and I'm having a bit of a look and trying to find guys that aren't hugely owned, and that's why I've gone the vet, Mark Nwaga-Nwadwaza. He's someone that I think can score high, consistently score well, and he's still reasonably low ownership, and I don't think his ownership will get too high. I'm going to pot guys like Herbie Farnworth. Because I don't see that he can continue to score tries. A bit like Kaeliro, I don't think they can. They both have just relied heavily on tries to get huge scores. And it's got to be someone else's turn soon. So I'm like you, I'm going to have Dylan Lucas. I like Val Holmes, Zach Lomax. Jacob Kiraz is a guy that I just love his base. He's a guy that can score 70 with nothing and then get him a try or two, which will happen on that doggy's edge, and he'll go 120 and you're laughing. I don't know how many people are going to get back to him. I'm kind of hopeful that he keeps a really quite a high price because it might turn some people off going back to him. And he's really low owned at the moment. So I know that sounds counterintuitive that I want him to stay high, but I want him to stay high because people are then going to have to make a call about missing somebody else. And that's not a lot of people's strong points. And I'm going to go back to Reuben Garrick because I do just like his consistency. He's a goal-kicking centre in a team that can score well at least every second week, but at the moment, and then enough. So that's where I'm looking in my centre wing. What's your run home look like, Matt?
Very similar to yours, Davo, in regards to not interested in KL and Herbie, who just keep scoring tries, the dogs.
And they're very highly owned, which is why I'm staying away from them. Because I've got to make up ground.
The other one I quite like is Bizza. If he can show that he's got that good work rate going, the Panthers can get some of their shit together. Yeah, I quite like Bizza as well. But yeah,
Which,
otherwise, I agree with what you said.
depending on which center's inside him as well.
Correct. If he's anywhere near that spastic McLean, shan't be having him.
Yeah, no. So I think that's, we're all similar, slightly different, but mostly similar, Mark. You're keeping Fletcher Sharp at this stage. And it could all change depending on where I've got to make trades leading up to it. That's in the perfect world. Like if all hell breaks loose and I can't make the trades because I run out, I'm probably going to have to keep someone like Fletcher Sharp and possibly Jackson Purdue. But I'm hoping by round 18 he gets dual position and I can shuffle him up to 5'8 if I want to as well and have, like you said, two guns in the 5'8 and figure out when I'm going to play them. Tackle five. With the news of Turbo resting again, is Lehigh at 676K still a buy option? Knights, Titans, Tigers, and Bunnies play both major buys but miss both mini buys. Then have the Storm and the Bulldogs. Last three scores 89, 100, and 107. It feels a bit like the Aaron Clark situation where you could have got him at 500,000 and now you're paying 670. Any love for someone like Lehigh Hopewade over the next little bit?
Not he's not on my radar to bring in to my team, but why, absolutely you could bring him in. I mean, 670, what he's turned up the last two games. He's got a pretty good run incoming. I guess the only thing would be, you mentioned it earlier, have a look at your round 16 and round 19 teams, especially round
19.
19, because that's going to be a pretty tough one to get to
17.
17, you know. So,
What are your thoughts around him, Matt?
He's definitely still a buy. So long as, Turbo's their fullback, Lehigh's a buy because
Yeah,
he's
get
either on the
fed.
wing catching pies and scoring tries, or he's at fullback carving them up. So in hindsight, like I should have bought Lehigh, not
Instead of Turbo,
Trbojevic.
yeah.
Easy to see now. But yeah, he's definitely still a buy. 670, 6 for what he's been doing. Great value.
If he has another really good round, like there's, what's the projection up to, like high sevens, and then he's just a flip across to any of those gun guys that we're all talking about trying to run home with.
Yeah.
Like he's probably still got 100K to make if he continues this trajectory at the moment. And Manly have got a pretty good run. Knights, Titans, Tigers, and Bunnies. Like there's no reason why he can't average 85
Yeah,
across that.
and just talking about that looking to the buyers as well. Like, I still think 16's a harder one than 19. Like, especially with your Manly players, because I'm assuming all my Origin players are not backing up round 16. Like, that's the
Yeah.
one where they got to play in Perth. That's where I'm assuming it's going to be the hardest one.
So it's all your Panthers guys. It's anyone that probably plays Friday and Saturday because.
I think even this like Sunday ones might be a stretch, like because they got to go to Perth. So, and
Yeah,
that
mate.
they like almost every Origin player gets rested at some stage. I think lots of them, it's going to be after this one.
It'd be interesting to have a look when the last year they went to Perth was for Origin and what the backup was after that. That'd be an interesting little stat to have a look at. I might,
Maybe for next week.
yeah, I might look into that for next week because
don't think they've been particularly bruising encounters though. They've
no, but
been
I think the bruising
open
nature.
affairs.
I think the nature of it is that
Yeah.
you're playing on Wednesday in a pretty high intensity game and you've got to fly back almost immediately without a lot of rehab. So I know it's, what is it, about a 6 hour flight, is that right? About 6 hours or something like that, maybe longer.
5 or 6 hours, yeah, something like that.
You lose more with time zones, so it is like a bit of a stretch coming back, like you do lose quite a bit of time. So yeah, interesting one on him. On off the cuff, I hadn't thought about this. If you were to choose Garrick or Lehigh this week, who would you go? I know there's a bit of a difference, about 70,000, no, maybe more, maybe 100,000 difference between them.
Probably still Garrick. Garrick's heaps cheaper there. And yeah, kicking goals for Manly. He's going to score well every week, even if the attack doesn't really flow through him.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And if Turbo's back the following week, there will be weeks where Lehigh doesn't go as high as Garrick
Yeah.
across.
Yeah.
Across the
If
rest
it.
of the season, you probably, and I'm starting to look at these guys in the centres that I'm bringing in. They're nearly guys that I want to keep for the rest of the season with barring injury. Do you see Garrick outscoring Lehigh average wise across the season for the rest of the season?
Depends if Turbo goes down, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, who's. So, yes, he will because that's
Or
bound to happen.
depends if Turbo comes up. That's the case, mate.
Yeah,
But yeah.
that's right.
Anyway, boys, I'm going to give you a quick chance to scramble with Guardsy not on here for tackle six pod squad, or have you already had a look and found one?
No, that's his segment, mate. Jacob Kiraz, Pod Squad.
Jacob Kiraz is
Yeah.
definitely
Yep.
on the money. I've got one.
You better not steal the one that I said before.
Who did you say before? You go first then.
Well, it was your man, Toby Couchman.
Oh no, I don't have him.
He's very low ownership now, and if he's got that edge role locked in, did he play 80 minutes? If he didn't, he played very, very close to it.
Scored 70, I think, didn't he?
I think he's what, in the mid 500s
No idea.
these days. He's one you can just plug in and you're going to get that sort of 60 or 70, and he can get an offload away and that sort of stuff. So
Score a try out
don't
there
mind
as
him.
well. Like, he's a chance to score a try out in that area. The one that I've got is a guy that we watched the Dragons game, and he's had the role for 2 weeks. I'm hoping Flanagan's not just going to do something stupid and change the role because it seems to be working. Damien Cook. I've been looking for a person to go into hooker to partner Riley Smith because, as well as Riley Smith's going, I'm not confident he's my man long term. And I've had enough next to him. So Riley's done a great job for me across about the last 4 weeks when I've needed him to go well. Damien Cook, 1.2% owned in the top 10%, -3 break even this week. Scores of 79 and 86 when he's had that big minute roll when Little comes on and he goes to lock. It feels like DeBellin's minutes are decreasing. I know there's been big injuries in those weeks. Dylan Egan the first time and Sua this week. But surely Flanagan can see that it works to have Little and Cook on the field at the same time. It worked at the Bunnies last year when they did it at the end of the year on Wayne's. Wayne ordered two things at the end of last year. He wanted Kalama Tangi to go to front row and he wanted Damien Cook to play. He probably just wanted to kill Damien Cook because he was leaving. But it worked. They've got the Dolphins, the Sharks, the Eels, and the Raiders, but they don't play round 19, do they? Or they don't. Are they one of the teams that don't play round 19? They don't play a tough mini bye round, I think, or maybe the major bye round. I don't know, but I just think Damien Cook's my guy. He's a historically good Supercoach player. If he's going to get even upwards of 65 minutes, I'm pretty happy to take him at 429,000 or 470,000 or 490,000. I'll get there eventually, but I think that's still pretty cheap for him for what he can deliver for me. So my pod squad member there. Trades, trainer, we talked about trades and how you're going to try and save them. Is this the week that you're going to save them?
This is the week. I'm not making any trades. Piss off.
You're not making any trades on Tuesday, but what about Thursday?
No trades.
If you were
I'm
to
making
make
two. I'm
something,
making two next week. I do need Greg Marju to be included on Thursday night, though.
do you?
Yeah. Otherwise, I cop AE,
Okay.
which will be Bentakura, which means my flex will be 20 points.
So have you held Marzu?
Yes.
Ah, very good. Okay, so there's a trade, a saved one, one you've
Yep.
saved, which is good. It sounds like he will be included, and that's what the report was last week. I was interested.
Yeah, and I'm happy that he's been named it like in the squad. I saw Fletch there again and I was like, oh, I was kind of
Last couple
hoping Greggy would just be number five, but
Yep.
so yeah, I'm just keep an eye on teams and updates and fingers crossed.
I've had a look at the most traded players in the top 10%. This is the list of the top 10. Robert Toyah, Corey Horsburgh, Zach Hosking, Isaiah Yonge, Thomas Jenkins, Cameron Munster, Billy Smith, Robert Darby, who's reached the end of his life. Thank goodness he's on his way back down. Dylan Brown and Thomas Cant. So they're the top sold players so far. And the top most traded in players, Jaden Campbell. People paying 700,000 for Jaden Campbell, which I can get around. I think he's probably going to be someone you want to have in that space. People are going early on Nathan Lawson, which I think is, I don't know if it's risky or not, because everyone's got pretty good numbers, I think, for next round. So if he doesn't play, just becomes enough. Bottom dollar. Kalama Tangi, so there's still, so that, what did you say? He was 80 something percent in the top.
82% in the top 5%.
Yeah, well, there's another 8% who have already bought him, so there's people that shit themselves after his ton last week and don't want to go around again. Lehigh, is the fourth most traded in player, Caolero, Herbie Farmworth. And there's the reason why I'm going to pot against them, because now that they're available, they're still like Caolero, 5.5% bought in the top 10%, and Herbie, 3.6% of it. And they were already pretty highly owned. Zach Labor, who I don't mind, I think he is not a bad little downgrade that you can probably play at a pinch. Olakau'atu and Toby Couchman, your pod has been bought by 1.9% of people, and he is 553,000 if my eyes are not. Mark, are you making trades this week? And are any of them on that list?
Someone's got to make a trade if Guardsy's not here.
I'm making trades.
I'm selling Robert Toyer.
Yep.
And I've got written down Campbell or Lomax. It'll probably be Campbell after you shit canned me last week, bringing him in and he scored 93.
I shit canned you because of the weather and the storm.
So he'll come in and he'll no doubt score 14.
But it's just another case of you play Supercoach properly and you get burnt. You shouldn't have brought him in against the storm, and you shouldn't have brought him in against in a monsoon, and he still scored 90 odd. Anyway, how do you tell? I'm making two trades this week. I'm selling Horsburgh with the expectation that, like, you sold him before, didn't you, Matt, before Origin 1, thinking you'd get picked for that. I'm pretty confident he's got to come in for Origin 2. And I'm also not keen on the minutes rotation that Ricky's got at the moment. And I'm also a bit short if I keep them all for round 19. So I'm just getting off now while his price is good. I've made 155,000 on him from the start of the season. He's done a really great job. So I'm selling Horsburgh via Jules to Cook, and I'm selling Connor Tracey because that little experiment, like, was probably one of the worst things I've done, trying to get him in and get him going. And I'm selling him for Garrick because Garrick's an end game run home guy for me. And I've potted Garrick. I sold Garrick at 800,000, and I'm picking him back up for about 200,000 less. So that's worked for me. That was one of those break-even decisions, and he hasn't turned up since I did it. He's got a couple of 90s and he's hurt a little bit, but the money that I was able to transfer to someone else allowed me to get some, unlike maybe Scott Drinkwater at top dollar, which really hurt as well. But that's where I'm headed. So I haven't made great decisions this year. So for anyone that owns Reuben Garrick, I'm probably going to kill him again as well. VC and C for this round, I'm finding it really tricky to land this decision. Are you having as much trouble as I am, Matt?
Nah, VC, Pappenhausen, Melbourne at home against the Cowboys.
Always.
And then I think there's a few captaincy options this week. Payne Haas, I looked at. Kalamatangi is a great option. And then either Tyrell May or Nathan Cleary in that Tigers Panthers game. At the moment, I've got it on Cleary.
Okay. Mark, I don't own Cleary. That maybe is why I'm having a level of conundrum that you're not.
Yeah, I
Oh,
don't own
you've got all those
Cleary
fuckers
either.
else to pick from, but.
So I've got the VC on Pappy and the C on Haas or May.
Feels like, what did you say? Sand somewhere. When I mentioned that last time, and I went to Drinky at 14, well, for his 14, I'm gonna
Yes.
probably. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm definitely gonna just vice captain Ryan Pappenhausen and then figure it out. But I've just noticed that by changing my vice captain to Pappenhausen, it puts the captain on Fletcher Sharp. I best change that before Thursday.
Thursday.
Is there a world where some
Locks sharp in for 100, everyone.
Is there a world where Jaden Campbell can do well against the Broncos?
Oh, absolutely.
Would that be as risky as it feels, or not so much?
I wouldn't captain him.
I'm thinking about it.
Or could you
When does
vice
he
captain
play?
him and then Captain May?
Saturday night. So there's 7:30 Saturday.
No, because I can vice captain Pappy, and then at
Yeah,
least then I can look at Campbell.
I'm saying vice captain Campbell, but
And not Pappenhausen.
correct.
Okay, and then maybe go into Real May or someone.
Yes.
Okay,
If you
I'll have a look at it.
you kind of got like choose your high upside player
Side
and VC him.
player. Okay. It'll come at 30,000 though, right?
Yeah, I mean you come at 30,000, so do what
Okay.
you want.
So maybe I should have two swings at my high upside players
Why not?
and hope one of them gets a ton.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's
Don't
what I
hate
think I
it.
might do.
Fuck the Broncos, so.
Yeah, you watch. I'll absolutely make Broncos win this weekend by captaining Jaden Campbell. You're welcome, all my Broncos, all the Broncos listeners. Mark, succulent Chinese multi. Where have you landed this week? I've got a couple of provisos for you. If you ever pick a Knights attacking player again, oh, I'm not putting it on the pod. I'm going to cut it out. If you ever choose, who did you have last week? I didn't agree with any of them.
Nene scored.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't. He's too short. I don't reckon the risk is too
No,
high.
he was
Who
three dollars five or
did you
something.
have?
I can't even remember.
Someone rubbish. I need you for the rest of the season to lock two people in. Herbie Farmworth and Kaylee Rowe, because they will not score another try for the rest of the year.
Well, you're in luck.
Yes.
Got one of them.
You like the cut of that,
Get them
Tim
both
Matthew?
in.
No.
Yeah, it's their multi every week.
Mate, you shut up or I'm gonna your team and just pick a ball from there moving forward.
You
So
can't get them all, mate.
I can. It's not gonna be a three-legger anymore. It's gonna be a 15-leg multi. this week, I have gone to the Melbourne Cowboys game first up. Jack Howarth playing at left centre for Melbourne. The Cowboys, you go through and you look at the stats. There's a nice little wiki table that I think it's NRL Supercoach Guns put out on Instagram that shows where teams concede and score their tries. The Cowboys concede to that left centre position more than anywhere else. So Jack Howarth, Herbie Farnworth. Yes. So don't bother turning the TV on until time do they play. They're the 8 o'clock game on. No, is that right?
I don't know.
Don't bother turning your TV on till after 9 o'clock because he'll not score before then.
65th minute on.
Yeah. And then we'll hang in till the last game on the public holiday, have a bit of interest. Josh Addo-Carr, the Bulldogs, even though they're tight defensively, do concede to that left wing position. And he's in a bit of try scoring form, the Fox. So those three to get a try, $11.45, $13.18 with a boost.
Yeah, and to the listeners, we did have a bit of a multi going, or we had a few bets going. Dan, in his infinite wisdom, went back to his love child in AJ, Alex Johnson. The minute he came back in, brought him in, and we decided that we would try and crush him. So we had him for one try, two tries, and three tries, which got us more than a succulent Chinese meal. It got us a beautiful pizza meal at the Parramatta Leagues Club with plenty of change, paid for a bit of the weekend. It was great times. I think we were the only about three of us cheering in Parramatta Stadium when the reserve grade game was, and they were on and they were hitting it up down the middle, and there was three or four lunatics in the grandstand cheering like we'd just won the Melbourne Cup. Thank you, Alex Johnson. May you not be successful from this moment forward. Thanks, Matt.
No worries.
It was good to catch up. Bit quicker tonight without the dribble of the chin list and a few other things, but Mark, great team analysis, and let's hope for a succulent Chinese multi win. Let's keep the winning feeling going after a successful weekend before. Thanks, listeners. Ta-ta and farewell.